I don't make a big deal of prayer in front of public places. I don't pray when I go out to eat. I don't like doing public prayer at all. I find prayer very humbling. It's kind of weird how we showboat it a little bit. I'll never forget the first time I really learned to pray. I came into my bedroom and my wife was crying uncontrollably. And I said, "What's wrong, honey?" She said, "Nothing, I'm just praying." Read a little prayer about a woman named Hannah. Guy thought she was uncontrollably drunk. When you finally get to the point where you're praying for the Lord, you don't want anybody to see you. But I pray for you and the people we mention, because I want them to know we care. But that shouldn't be the end of your prayer today. It should just be a start of a prayer. It should be lasting until we hear something back. And you should take it into your heart and really go to the Lord in your closet and let it rip. That's what I suggest. All right. Hebrews chapter... I almost started preaching on prayer. It'd be okay, wouldn't it? I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 7. And it starts, I'm just going to cut in the context, verse 11, Hebrews 7:11. "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people would receive the law, what further need was there of another priesthood should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is a necessity of a change also of the law," and on and on. Go over to verse 26. Talking about Jesus Christ. "For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily." Now listen to this. These priests had to do it how often? Daily. "Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin, and then for the people, for this he did once." Well, let me put Jesus Christ in there, okay? That's who he's talking about. Let's try it again. "Jesus Christ needeth not daily, as though high priest, to offer up sacrifice first, to offer up a sacrifice first for his own sin, and then for the people, for this he did once." Did he offer up a sacrifice for his own sin? Yes, he did. Now, this is very, very important. Probably more important than anything else. I don't know where I'm going to cut in. I don't want to erase what we've got here, so I hope the cameras can get this. There's a temple. And the temple is represented by heaven. You understand? And you've got the altar, which is seen from the front. That is, when people come to the front, they'll be able to see that. They can't see much behind there. And then there's a laven. And then there's another structure in the back that is divided in two places. Does anybody know the name of the two places? The holy place and the holies of holies. Right? And the holy place was a ministry of the priest. So a person would come to the front, they would offer a blood sacrifice, the priest would then take the blood, wash his feet, and go back in here and do the service. There was a table back there with six pieces of bread stacked next to six pieces of bread, which I believe represents the 66 books of the King James Bible. And you have to have the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible. And thus, the lantern in there that had seven candlesticks. And then there's an incense of prayer right there. And then the high priest would take the blood all the way back. Once a year he would do this. And he would make sure he's all dressed up and right. And he would go in and there's a cherubim sitting over a mercy seat. And he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And that song, "When I See the Blood." Well, that song had to do with the priesthood function of that God would see the blood, I would pass over you. That song is not really for you. Kind of odd, but God would see the blood instead of your sins. God wouldn't see the law. He wouldn't see the thing that condemned you. But what would happen is on the first month, the 14th day of the month, which is the month Nisan, which is where we are now, the 14th day of the month, they would offer, did it ever rotate? Did it ever go by solar stuff?
No.
No, it went on the 14th day of the month was Passover, no matter where it landed. And they would bring lambs to be offered for sin, and he would walk into that high priest, and he would sprinkle the blood of bull and goats on that. But it wasn't until the 7th month, 14th day of that month, which is the day of atonement, that those sins were accepted by God. You all understand? There was a delay in the reaction. They didn't know. You all understand? They would offer the Passover, and on the 7th month, the 14th day of that month, they would have the Day of Atonement. And they would shout for joy because they've been atoned for. And I want you to read verse 27 with me again. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin, and then for his people. He made two offerings, one for himself and one for his people. Now, very important, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what I was showing Bill in the car. Verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Well, who's the he? It's God. That's good. It's close. Made him, who's him? Christ, to be what? So did Jesus Christ have sin? Had he sinned? No, he's the sinless Son of God. But he got sin. Amen? Y'all understand? He got sin. He had to make a sacrifice for those sins. And then for the people. Go back to Hebrews now. We're going to turn back, so hold on to where we are. Go to Hebrews. Verse 27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his what? You know what I would have there? Where did he get his own sin? 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him to be sin for you. I would definitely put that in my Bible so I would look smart when I was around somebody. God made his son to be sin for you. Okay, hang on. When I say something that exciting, it's okay to say hallelujah or praise the Lord. But if it doesn't mean anything, just stay silent. That's okay. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sin and then for the people. Who's the people?
Israel.
For this he did what? Once when he offered up himself. Now, the offering up of himself has to do with the faith of Christ.
Amen.
Go to Romans chapter 3. Hold on to 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to turn right back. Romans chapter 3. But now, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. So we have a righteousness that a man can become righteous without the what? Wouldn't that excite you?
Amen.
I mean, I don't like those laws. You know, I haven't kept all of them very well. Have you? I mean, you know, I know Jeff has done away with cursing. He never says a cuss word. Amen? He ain't admitting to that. Well, I know Terry's given up cussing completely. Because the other day when I cussed, he got mad at me like I was some kind of rude guy. I mean, he was like hand over mouth. Sam did the same thing to me. I know he's done it. He has given it up.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I could tell by his reaction that he could not believe that his preacher. I mean, you know what? I get all upset about cuss words. But I don't really understand them. I don't. I mean, you go, hell, and everybody gets all upset. Well, hell's a real place.
Amen.
And so there are women sitting around and they're 75 and 80 and we won't go beyond that. And they're having their tea. And they're telling the story about their husband and they say, oh, heavens. But that ain't cussing. Isn't that weird? Doesn't that bother you a little bit that hell's a cuss word and when they use the heaven in that kind of vernacular? Oh, heavens. Well, that's cussing too. It's okay to say heck. You know what the definition for heck is?
Hell.
One word, hell. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. I hear that all the time. You're cussing. I ain't either cussing. I would have said hell if I was cussing. That's how that all works, right? So we get our self-righteousness all bent out like we're some good people, you know. But you know what? I haven't even kept the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, God didn't say work 5 days and take one day off and then one for the Lord. He said you were to take the whole 24-hour period and give it to the Lord. Guilty. I am guilty. Didn't like the law. The law condemned me. Well, now we're talking righteousness without the law. Okay, little hallelujah, baby. If I've got to get one of those signs up here that says applause or say hallelujah, you know, and push the button myself, I will. But this should be spiritually connected for you guys. Now watch. But verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law, I'm being healed as I speak. I can see without my glasses. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even, now watch this, even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus, by your faith? His faith. What is his faith? When he offered up himself. See, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he believed God was going to raise him from the dead. Guess whose faith that was? It was his faith. He believed in God the Father, God the Son. I mean, he believed it was going to happen, so he said, nail it! And he gave himself for us. The faith of God, the faith of Christ. Is it straight? Yep, nail it! And you know what? He didn't get on that cross and he didn't whimper. He didn't act like it hurt. He endured it all for you.
Amen.
Because you know what? He was not only dying for the people's sins, but his own. See, go back to 2 Corinthians 5. Jesus Christ died for his own sin. Well, where did he get his sin from? 2 Corinthians 5. Look at it. Isn't this good stuff?
Amen.
For he hath made him, that's Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Did he know any sin? But he became a sinner. Why did he become a sinner? God made him to be sin for us. Okay, just amen there, be all right. Are y'all sleepy this morning? All right, you need another vibe, brother. Take my last vibe. You've taken all the rest.
I guess I need to turn the heat on to warm us up.
No, chill it down. Don't you get any more warm, they'll be passing out in the aisle. And I'm only going to do the girls. Yeah, that really stinks when you bring the Bible turner and she's not here. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Hey, I didn't even have to take that one on. That's incredible. And so you go up to verse 19 and it says, to wit. That's like saying to witness. To wit. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Not. What?
Not
imputing their trespasses onto them? Why is God not imputing your trespasses onto you?
He took them.
He took them and placed them on his Son.
Praise God.
How many sins?
All.
How about the homosexual?
All.
The adulterer?
All.
The pedophile. That guy's got to go to hell.
All.
See, all the sin, God had made his Son to be sin for and just dumped the sin on his Son. And then God knew that his Son would have the faith to take it all the way to the cross.
Amen.
Thus, the faith of Christ. Thus, the faith of Christ. You see, he believed God. And so now, it's as if he's entered in. There's where the cross happened, right there. See that? But that wasn't where the work really happened. Y'all understand?
Amen.
He went through sanctification and he went all the way through to the back. And the high priest is the only one in that room. You know who it is? It's God and the high priest. Now, if that high priest went in wrong,
Had a rope tied to him.
Can't come out. If he was done wrong, or his pomegranates weren't right, or his robe wasn't right, or his confession wasn't right, you know what would have happened?
He'd have died.
And so people ask me all the time, what really is the dispensation? What is the rightly dividing of the word of truth? Well, let me tell you. I'm going to redraw this over the Old Testament, the cross being here. There's the altar, the laven, the holy place with the showbread, and the candlestick that's upside down, but it's not going to drip wax, it's olive oil. And then in here is the holy place with the cherubims and the wings over expanding. And that veil, by the way, when Jesus Christ died at the cross, that veil was ripped to prove that God wasn't in that place anymore. And God hadn't been dwelling with them. You know, it's like religious people. They go to church and they do all these religious things. They think God is with them and they're going to be absolutely shocked to find out they're lost. They've been faking it. You know what? You can fake me out. Hey, great. Fake me out. End up in hell. Big deal. Fake me out. You're not faking God out. And so for God to know, this veil was 9 inch thick. It was sewn on material onto material so that when it was ripped from twain, they knew it was somebody huge that did it. Well, it was God, folks. And they weren't allowed to look into the holy place. Only one man could look in that holy place. Guess who that one man is? It was the high priest. Jesus Christ became a high priest. Don't you understand? But here's the greatest news I can give you. Is he did not wait and walk back out to tell the congregation that God had accepted their testimony. They'll have to wait for the Day of Atonement. They had to wait while he's back there. They have no idea whether God accepted it or God's doing a good thing. They were all biting their hands and their fingers wondering whether he was coming back out. Because he was the only man that knew whether God accepted it or not until he walked all the way out. Y'all understand?
Amen.
This is so important. If you can get this, it is the most incredible truth you could ever have. You can grasp this. While Jesus Christ was in there and he offered his sacrifice for his sin, did he know whether God had forgiven you?
Yes.
Was it a question whether God had forgiven you?
No.
And do you realize that Jesus Christ didn't wait until he got to the front of the temple? By the way, the front would be the second coming when he comes out.
Amen.
When he gets revealed again will be the second coming. Are you getting the picture? But he calls the Apostle Paul while he's in the holy place. Paul looks up into the cloud and you know what? He sees Jesus Christ brighter than a noonday sun. You know why? He's in the Holy of Holies. And God calls to Paul out of the Holy of Holies and said, Saul? Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know what Saul says? Lord, what will thou have me to do? He says, I want you to go tell some people that I died for their sins. I know that they've been forgiven. I'm in the holy place and God is acceptable to you. Had he accepted them for Israel?
No.
No, when are they going to get forgiveness?
Second coming.
When he comes out the door, the second coming, there is going to be a fountain open. You've heard the song, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And that fountain of Zechariah 13 verse 1 will be open for Israel for sin and for forgiveness. But he didn't wait until he walked out to the front door to tell you about your sins. He saved a special man, a special courier, a special apostle. His name was Saul and switched it to the Apostle Paul and gave him the message of forgiveness. Look what he told him to tell him. 2 Corinthians 5, y'all still there? Good, I thought I lost you. Missy's having more fun here than she's ever had. She likes this preacher, don't you? He's a nice preacher. You like him too, don't you? You're over there laughing like you're like, she's like an idiot for liking that preacher. Now watch. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Now watch. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were what?
All dead.
Come on down, verse 17. That if any man be in Christ, he's a what? Are you going to need to be born again?
No.
No, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of what? Getting people under the law. Making people behave?
No.
Making people not smoke?
No.
You want me to preach on smoking?
No.
I mean, that's what religion is doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Taste not, touch not. Yeah. Hey, listen, that's not my ministry. God didn't give me the ministry of correction. My ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. My ministry is to bring forth people to know that God's not mad at them anymore. That God had made His Son to be sin for us.
Amen.
That's my ministry. My ministry is not to put the law over you as a yoke and control your life as many want to do. I don't want to. I have a hard time controlling my own life. If I figure out how to control it, yours, I'll really tell you. But I ain't got mine down. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, here's the secret. That God was in Christ. Reconciling us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And if given to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world on Himself. Everybody help me. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Why? He's in the holy place, guys. When He calls Paul, he's sitting next to God. He knows the sin's been taken care of. Let me try that again. Oh, thank you. Delayed reaction. Do you all understand? He knows that God has accepted it.
Amen.
Your sins are gone. How many churches have you ever been that they think that sin is the issue? Walk down the aisle. Come on, confess up your sins. I got great news. Already been done. He's sitting in the holies of holies when He calls out to Paul and tells him this stuff. No, but Israel doesn't even know that. You know that? When do you think Israel's going to find out that their sins are gone?
Second coming.
You're absolutely right when they come out the veil again on the front. But you've been given a mystery. There's only three people that knew that mystery. God the Father, God the Son,
and the Apostle Paul.
And the Apostle Paul. How did the Apostle Paul get it? The Holy Spirit. All the Trinity was involved. But I'm just saying that you were hearing something that was behind a veil that no one else got to hear. You got to hear the conversation of God and the Son. He said, Dad, I've got to offer first for my own sin. Puts that blood on. You know what God says to him? I accept that. It's done. I accept that payment for your sin. And then He says, I've got to offer the blood for the sins of the people. He said, that's great. We'll let them know at the Day of Atonement. He said, Father, can I tell Paul it's okay now to go preach that? Yep. We've kept it secret until this point. It's now time to let it go. Tell the Apostle Paul. Paul's out rounding up people, Christians. He was not rounding up Christians. How do I know? There aren't any Christians up to this point. Paul's the only one that knows. Y'all understand? God isn't able to tell everybody. Why? It would mess up Israel. They know that they're coming at the second coming. You realize that? They're anticipating it. The prophets spoke of it. He said, you can tell Paul. Let Paul start revealing it. So he goes to synagogues and he tries to prove it. It got them absolutely fighting mad. Look at the first time he goes in and preaches it. Go to Acts 13. Now before Acts 13, it's not evident that he ever preached it any time before then. But in Acts 13, it's evident that he preached it. Verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a what? Savior. Verse 26, watch this. Men and brethren, the children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. By the way, did that include you?
No.
We weren't in that picture yet. Verse 38, here's the gospel. Watch it. This first time it's preached in your Bible. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, underline it, the forgiveness of sin. How did he know that there was forgiveness of sin? He was in the holy place, guys. He was in the holy place with God. He knows God has accepted the payment. Why are people acting like God hasn't accepted the payment? Or that some sacrifice on your own self-humility is going to bring you closer to God? Or that some work that you do is going to impress God so much He's just going to say, well, I'm just going to die for all her sins. He knows that those sins are forgiven.
Amen. Amen.
And then he goes on to say, verse 39, watch this. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified from the law of Moses. Couldn't an adulterer be forgiven?
No.
According to the law, adulterer would be taken out immediately, and the priest would what?
Stone him.
You know how many in this room would be guilty of that?
All of us.
Because even if you didn't commit adultery, you've lusted after a person. And the Bible says you've already committed adultery in your heart. Amen? I find women beautiful. I hate that. I married one. But I could have married about 30. I love women. I don't need 30. I got the one. But you understand, I love women. I think women are great. But I would be guilty of adultery. That's humbling, isn't it? You know what James says? It doesn't really matter. You know what? That if you kept the whole law, James says this in James 2, verse 10. Said, if you keep the whole law, yet if it in one point, you're guilty of it all. Well, then that means I'm a murderer. I have certainly lied. How many in here has lied? Be honest. If you've told a lie, raise your hand. Raise it. I want to see it. Dale, quit lying to me. Raise your hand. Everybody in here is a liar. How do I know that? Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans chapter 3. Well, then you're as guilty of adultery. You all were looking at me like, I can't believe he's admitted to being an adulterer. Huh? Like lying's worse thing. How many here, honest engine? I mean, I want you to become honest engine here. How many of you have stolen something? That's interesting. Man, you are definitely going to hell. You
from the pulpit.
You stole from the pulpit? Deborah, what have you done to this kid? Then he says, I stole your last one. Do you have any more? Y'all understand? We're guilty. What part of the law do you think? Do you not hear the law? Galatians 4 says, you that want to be under the law, do you not hear it? It's not saying this. What a good boy you are. Boy, you are the... You are... Yeah, you are the... No, it's saying you are a sinner. In fact, I'll take it one step further. You are a damn sinner. And that's the proper use of the word damn. You're a damned sinner. But you don't have to be. God's grace has abounded. See, when He entered into that temple, people saw Him leaving here. Don't you understand? And that was walking into the temple. But right while he's at the holiest of holies, he calls out to Paul and gives him a mystery. And the mystery isn't, you've got to repent of your sins. The mystery isn't, hey, work out the best you can. It isn't any of that. You know what it is? It's that God has accepted it. It's done.
And it's a free gift.
It is a free gift. It's done. So now the question is why aren't people getting saved? Because most people, listen to me, want to do something to earn it. You all understand? They're on the treadmill of religion doing whatever. You know, churches this morning are going to have people walking the aisle for Jesus. Please get on the treadmill and start working for your salvation. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man, come on, guys. It's by grace. And you know what? Everybody in here knows. Listen to me. Everybody in here knows. It doesn't matter whether you went to church 100 years or whether this is the first time you've been in church in 100 years. Doesn't matter. Everybody in here knows whether they've received that gift or they haven't. You know what? If you haven't, you can receive it today. Is it, two weeks from now, is it going to change the fact that he knows that those sins were paid for?
Nope.
How about 6 years from now? The message is never going to change. He offered up sin one time, first for himself, and then for the people. Now the people don't know yet. Israel doesn't know. They'll know at the second coming whether they're forgiven. But he's telling you right now, you can absolutely know.
Amen.
And see, that works along with the Passover and forgiveness, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to wait until the second coming when he opens the veil and says, I'm back. Your sins are now forgiven. He called to the Apostle Paul while he was in the holy place, brighter than a noonday sun. Gave him the message of reconciliation. Go tell those people that I'm not mad at them. That this is what I have done. I've kept it a secret. But I have made my son be sin for you. That is, I took all of your sins and placed it on my dear son. The altar. There it is. But that's not enough, boys and girls. What's done at that altar doesn't complete the trick. He's buried, and he raises up, and he tells them, please don't come and touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Don't touch me yet, because he's got to take the blood all the way back and sprinkle the blood. And as soon as that blood is laid before the Lord, he knew immediately, are you listening to me? That your sins were forgiven. How many?
All.
Every single one of them. So he calls out and gives it to the Apostle Paul, the message of grace. I've died for your sins, was buried, and that I rose again the third day. But yet, there's still another forgiveness coming. And he's going to come out of the room and it will be called the second coming out of the clouds. And they will see him. You know what there? He said there will be a fountain open. For what? For sin and for uncleanness. For who?
Israel.
And that's Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. See, you got both aspects. Were they forgiven back then?
No.
Yeah, they were. They just don't know it until he comes out of that veil again. But the mystery is you know what happened in that veil. Because it's 13 books explaining what happened in that veil. And that 13 books tell you that you are 100% forgiven. So let me ask you a question. Why do churches today make such a big deal out of sin? And there's only one answer. They do not believe it's all gone.
That's right.
If they would have you to come down and confess your sins at an altar, they don't believe it's gone. If they believe you need to walk the aisle or to get done, they don't believe it's done until you walk that aisle. There's churches that teach that if you're not baptized, you can't be saved. But that is an action required. And I'm here to tell you, He's told you already it's been forgiven. I want to end on one last verse and we're done. Colossians chapter 2. And look at the wording here very carefully. I appreciate y'all being patient with me. Colossians chapter 2. Now, can I do a comparison of two verses? It'll make more. Grab Acts 3:19 at the same time. This will be good. Now, nobody's had any problem with understanding what I said. Amen?
Amen.
So by my calculation, there should be none lost in here. Why would you reject such an incredible gift? Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Going to?
Already.
Having forgiven you. Already in past. It's a past perfect statement. Already done. But look at Peter's. Acts 3:19. Watch this. Look at Peter preaching. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins
may be.
You see that little word? Blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know what that is? That is the difference. What you just heard was the difference from him calling to the Apostle Paul while he was here. And when he comes out the end at the second coming. You just heard the two different gospels. Peter did not preach the same gospel you preached, even at Pentecost. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when times come from the presence of the Lord. And that matches Zechariah 13:1 and Romans 11:25-27. Matches it perfectly. So what Paul heard is still a mystery until Jesus Christ comes out through that veil at the second coming. And anybody who wants to be saved and have eternal life can have it today.
Amen. That's right.
Gosh, that's the greatest news. I mean, you could literally throw out all your religion and say, today I'm trusting what Christ did for me.
Amen.
Knowing that He's already forgiven you. Right now. That's the greatest news I've got.
Amen.
Amen.
And I appreciate y'all coming, being part of the internet. Just a few announcements I wanted to make before we cut off the internet. There is a way, people have written me and asked me how to give on the internet. I believe there's a donation button on the internet that you can do that for. So people have written in. Also, I want to read, can I read something that happened Wednesday? I want to read something that happened Wednesday that really got me very excited. And
while you're hunting that, I want to make an announcement too.
Okay.
For the internet and the people in the room, we are now within two sermons of having the whole Wednesday,
yes.
End time prophecy up. And I will try to have them up by Wednesday night. And there's four that the voices are off. And I will try to have those corrected by next Sunday because it takes a little time to get all that done. But we're just about got the archive sermon. So you can go to gracebiblelive.org, pull up the video archives, and you can see all the sermons on end time prophecy with minus two. So.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This note I got Thursday or Friday morning. It said, hi, Max Stagner. As I listened to you preach Wednesday night, I thought how similar my upbringing was with yours. I have lived 12 years trying to be good. Do good to earn my salvation. And when I heard the gospel of the grace of God on the radio, I couldn't believe my ears. I listened for 6 months and began jumping with joy when I got it. Christ did it all. I relaxed and have been on cloud nine ever since. I believe people like us have been under bondage for so long, really do appreciate the liberty we have in Christ. And another text message just came up. I'm having a hard time convincing anybody about the truth, but I will proclaim it until I die. The most glorious message I've ever heard, and I'm so happy in the Lord. I don't have that club over my head anymore. And to know that Christ died for me, I'm wondering to myself, why me, Lord? But I am so fortunate. That was from a message from a man of God I watched come into this ministry off the television, end up get saved, and now he's touching other people's lives all over the world. And guys, listen, let me tell you what, that's what this ministry is all about. If you don't get that, you've missed the whole point. It isn't about me. Thank God it's not about me. It's not about Mac. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ who could save rotten, filthy men like us. Amen. Put us in the pulpit to proclaim the greatest message of grace when we're unworthy and undeserving. I know George preached New Year's Eve a couple years ago and a girl got saved. Terry's preached, people get saved. We have in our mouths the words of life. Amen. And even if this girl wasn't brought to Christ because of Mac, but she recognized that she's a brother or a sister with a brother in Christ, and she appreciated the messages.